Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, you want your kids to be involved in team sports and you want them to get out and be fit. And even you've been hearing over a bunch of years about how great martial arts is. It can boost fitness, motor skills, emotional development, self-esteem, and it really can involve children in a community. That's a little different than other team sports. However, there's some injury risk with martial arts. So how is a parent to decide? Because there's a lot of different kinds. So what are you supposed to do when you're looking at martial arts programs and trying to decide which one is the best for your child? My guests today are Dr. Chris Couturis. He's a sports medicine pediatrician, and Dr. Rebecca Demarest. She's a pediatric and young adult sports medicine specialist at Webster Orthopedics outside of San Francisco. Welcome to the show, doctors. So Dr. Couturis, I'll start with you. When we're looking as parents for martial arts for our children, and martial arts is really great, so why don't you first speak about the benefits of martial arts and what you think is so great about it?
Well, your introduction summarized it quite well. It teaches kids body control. It teaches kids discipline, both on an individual level as they're listening and learning, but also when they're emulating what's going on around them. You'll walk into a studio and you'll see the kids often teaching each other. So you're going to have so many benefits from that end. You're also going to have the kids learn to achieve. When they make a particular set of steps, they earn a new belt. There's always that constant reward of being able to learn something and building their own self-confidence for the future.
I think you're exactly right, and you hit it on the head. Now, typically, back in the day, martial arts was thought of as a boy's thing, a defense moves kind of thing. It's aggressive, it's defense-oriented, or even offensive-oriented, and girls weren't as involved. And then they started thinking girls needed to be involved for, you know, to learn self-defense or to learn all these other things. So, Dr. Demarest, you know, for women, speak about some of the benefits that have come over the years in being involved, in young girls, with martial arts.
Absolutely. Just like Dr. Couturis said, builds the same type of characteristics for young women, gives them confidence, helps build balance, proprioception, strength, control, flexibility, all the things that we look for in terms of our young athletes being healthy and strong and achieving a goal, just like Dr. Couturis said. Same types of things with the girls that we see.
So then what are we seeing as far as injury, you know, susceptibility, Dr. Couturis, with both our young athletes, our females and our males? Are we seeing different types of injuries in them? I mean, are we seeing ACL in girls in martial arts? What are we seeing that might, you know, raise a red flag about this type of training for kids?
Well, I think the injury risk is more inherent in the type of martial art than by gender. To address the ACL, I don't think we saw a huge amount of ACL injury, which is nice to see compared to other sport activities, but especially in those activities that emphasize striking, kicking, or any type of other trauma to the head, we did see a high risk of concussion, and we did see a high risk of bruising and other direct soft tissue injury. So I think when you're looking at injury risk, I wouldn't look at gender per se, but more at the type of martial art and whether or not it was contact versus contact.
So then what type of martial arts, Dr. Demarest, are we looking to sort of, as we parents go and we examine all the different kinds and we're looking to get our kids involved, what should we be looking for?
Well, I think you should be looking for a studio that has educated instructors who are aware that, you know, kids are different than adults, and some of the things and injury risks and issues that we might deal with are a little bit different. I think that we want to focus on, you know, just as Dr. Couturis says, recognizing that some of the martial arts are non-contact, which potentially decreases your risk for some of the injuries that we might see versus contact. Karate is a very popular activity among young athletes, and there are non-contact forms where hopefully the injury risk is less than something like Taekwondo, which is also really popular, but has the added issue of kicks, which potentially increase, and what we found in looking at the research, increase the risk for some of the injuries that we do see.
And the kids love to kick Dr. Couture, so they do love to do that. That
yes,
kind of makes
do.
Them feel cool, and they get to kick higher and kick towards somebody. So what should we do about that?
Well, first of all, I think the kids should have proper technique when they are kicking in just form, so they're not kicking against another person or another object. Once they've earned the right, shall we say, to start that kicking of other objects, we have to know the limitations. For example, protective equipment. Many parents would say that, hey, my child's going to be wearing protective headgear, body protection, they'll be just fine, and that's not necessarily the case. We did not find enough evidence to say, for example, that protective soft helmets can reduce the risk of concussion. So we want to make sure that when kids are learning how to kick, they learn how to do it properly, and they understand the limitations that perhaps blows to the head should not be emphasized. That way we can reduce the risk of injury both to the person who's doing the kicking but also the person who's receiving the kicks.
Yeah, so that's a great point. And then, Dr. Demarest, what about the punching? Because a lot of it is based on blocking and that defensive stance and the really good, as you mentioned, proprioception and balance and all those things. But then there's also the punching that goes on. And just like even in The Karate Kid, he says, when do I get to punch? When do I get to punch something?
Absolutely. I think, you know, making sure that a child is not only physically ready, but emotionally ready for something like that. You know, there are many people who continue martial arts and don't get to a contact nature of it and enjoy the non-contact aspect of it. And that's something that I would emphasize with parents, that you don't necessarily have to pick a form, whether it's kicking and punching, because that does increase your injury risk. We don't have great information suggesting that protective equipment will necessarily decrease, you know, or completely take away your risk for injury. And so that risk does exist there.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking about, Dr. Demarest, when you mentioned, you know, equipment. And because it's such a movable sport and type of art, it's sort of an art and a sport, and it's so movable, some of the equipment that you might think of, helmets and or, you know, pads, would really limit that fluidity. So what would you say about, you know, parents who say, well, is there some way to protect their face? Is there some way to protect their kneecaps? Any of those things?
Absolutely. I think probably teaching children how to be properly defensive, depending on which martial art form that they take, along with some potential rule changes to decrease some of the higher risk movements, such as kicks to the head, and not rewarding points for that type of maneuver, is probably our best effort, because we know that protective equipment, number one, it's only as good as it fits. And as we all know, things get passed down from kids to kids. May not be exactly perfect for a younger athlete. So even if we are banking on the fact that maybe this will decrease the risk for our child, doesn't necessarily fit them. But again, the studies are out there that don't necessarily suggest that in and of itself can decrease the risk. And sometimes, you know, when people wear protective equipment, they have a higher internal drive of, well, I can't get injured because I have some protective equipment, so I'm going to either, you know, break the rules or go a little harder or go a little faster. And I think parents especially need to be aware that that may be the case. And so just because you're wearing protective equipment doesn't decrease your risk. And we need to focus on that with the kids and make sure that they understand that role of it.
That's a good point, because sometimes that equipment gives you that feeling of safety or immortality, and so you don't worry as much, or maybe you're not as careful. And so, Dr. Couture, when parents are looking for these programs, and even some of them are Tai Chi, so that is a sort of a more non-confrontational, more fluid, smoother, but maybe some kids don't really dig it quite as much. So what is the AAP saying? Because I know we're, you know, boxing is kind of a no-go, but what are they saying about putting your kids in martial arts, especially the ones that involve kicking and punching?
Well, I think what the AAP is trying to teach parents is to differentiate between contact and non-contact. As Dr. Demarest said eloquently, that the contact forms are going to have a higher risk, so having that understanding that children should not progress to contact until they are physically and emotionally ready, that they've practiced the non-contact aspect. So parents looking at a studio should ask about the rate of progression. What criteria are used by the instructors to advance the children? Do all children have to progress? There are certain studios where that's an optional activity, whereas others are more aggressive at trying to get the kids to a contact realm. That way, each parent and each family can make their own decision based on their child's needs, their child's interests, but also reducing. You can't eliminate the risk if you're going to contact, but by progressing more slowly, having the child a bit more prepared for the activity, you can probably limit that risk. The high-risk activity, such as blows to the head, that's where the AAP is going to be more emphatic that those should not be encouraged, either in training or in competition. We don't want to see situations where kids are getting rewarded for blows to the head, because that's going to increase the injury risk far greater than any of us wants to accept.
And that mixed martial arts kind of includes a lot of that, doesn't it, Dr. Couture?
It sure does. And that's where we do have issues with, again, situations where kids are put in submission positions or chokeouts that, by definition, are going to create trauma to the head, and or those are criteria for stopping a match. So kids are going to use those techniques. And in terms of overall safety to the head, neck, and the entire body, those just aren't compatible with what the AAP believes.
So what's a parent to do, Dr. Kam, sticking with you for a minute here? And we look, okay, so you want us to look for non-contact. You want to make sure that your parent, you know, that your children are emotionally and physically ready to take on this kind of training. And then we're looking around to see what's involved at each different training studio, because they're all so different. And there's so many of them. Do you happen to have one that you like better than another? Just a training?
I think I look at studios where you talk to parents, you talk to older kids, and see how they progress. I'm particularly impressed with studios that keep the older kids around to help instruct the younger kids, because you're building that sense of community, you're building that sense of achievement, and I think the older kids inherently may protect the younger kids. So I think I'm looking for a studio where the progression is based on the child, not by, okay, you've been here for 3 months, you're ready to progress, but looking at each child, that there's not a particular rush to get kids to a higher level, and perhaps the emphasis on competition. Some studios have competitive teams that bring glory, bring trophies, a lot of hardware. Maybe that's not the studio for the family that isn't looking for as much of that competitive glory and that higher risk activity.
Dr. Demarest, what would you like parents and other kids to know about the buddy system, which we use in football all the time, to keep track of those kinds of injuries and concussion especially? Do they do the same in karate, especially if they're like all standing in a line and you happen to notice that maybe the guy next to you or the girl next to you is not balancing the way they normally do, or that you know that? Do you want them to look for things like that?
Absolutely. I think we want everyone in whatever aspect of sports they're looking at to get more out of it than just the physical nature of it. We want people to build relationships, to work together, and to build that sense of community. And I think that that is definitely available and happens in many studios across the country where people are looking out for each other. I think that a lot of that depends on the actual studio, how invested the kids are, and what the ultimate goal of everyone who's there is. I venture to tell parents, you know, just like Dr. Couture mentioned, looking at studios and trying to figure out what's best for your child, I'd focus on a place that looks at your child and what does your child want and need out of this activity, not necessarily what does the studio need. Sometimes as we get into some of the sports that emulate some of the more professional activities, it becomes more about the person who's training or the person who owns the business, and it becomes more of a business realm than a true activity that's trying to give back to the children. So I think trying to, you know, make sure that some of that sensationalism or media aspect of that maybe not quite as important to that studio may be helpful for some parents to help guide them and to make sure that everybody's looking out for each other, and it's not just about, you know, one person progressing or one institute being the top of the top.
So, Dr. K, last word to you. Wrap it up. What you want parents listening to know about getting their kids involved in martial arts and the benefits of it and how great it can be, and yet there is a susceptibility to injury, a risk for injury, and what you want them to know about being aware of those risks.
Well, I want parents to know that there are so many great benefits to the martial arts that those should be the first point of emphasis, from, again, the proprioception, the balance, the sense of accomplishment, the individual and teamwork mixed together, the multiplicity. If one type of martial arts isn't for you, we'll find another one. So I think when you walk away from a discussion, you want to say that, hey, the martial arts can confer so many great things to kids. Yes, there are risks, and those risks can include the contact aspects, can be pushed too fast too soon, and also blows to the head or other regions that could be more dangerous. So if we try to limit those more harmful aspects, you can definitely emphasize the benefits. So I want parents walking away saying, no, my child should not be deterred from being in the martial arts. We should just make sure to find the best way to make it as safe so they can do a lifelong participation. That's the other big point is martial arts can be performed by folks from young ages to up till their elderly years. So you've got a lifelong activity that builds community. Let's emphasize and let's keep promoting it.
What a great wrap-up. Thank you, both of you, for being with us today. It's really great information for parents to hear and so important because we need to get our kids up and involved in these activities, in these sports, to learn competition and to learn just everything that's involved, balance and proprioception and strength and self-esteem and control, which is a very big part of martial arts, is that ability to control not only your emotions, but your movements as well. So it's really great. And thanks so much for being with us. And remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can rate and review. That way, like-minded people, other parents, we can get involved. And we're getting this information from the experts at the American Academy of Pediatrics. They are the gold standards for pediatrics. So parents, get involved, rate and review us on iTunes. You can listen on RadioMD.com. And there's a lot of ways. The AAP has their great website and their consumer website as well. So this is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Thanks so much for listening and stay well.